Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
And we have for you another encore show here on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. It's being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production. Back in 2009, we had the chance to meet and talk to Norm Brodsky. Norm is an Inc. Magazine columnist, and basically what he was talking about back then, he was co-author of a book called The Knack, How Street Smart Entrepreneurs Learn to Handle Whatever Comes Up. Sound like that might get you prepared? You might want to listen to this great interview here at The Advertising Show. Enjoy.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
You love double mint gum. Double good, double mint gum.
As promised, our guest today, Norm Brodsky, who is a co-author of a book called The Knack, basically did did a few other things along the way, too, as well, which we'll fill you in as we learn a little bit more about what Norm has been up with. Norm, welcome to The Advertising Show. Great to have you here.
Well, it's nice to be here, but you made one mistake. You said I had seven successful businesses before I wrote for Inc. They weren't all successful. The first business I took from zero to $120 million in 8 years and took that from $120 million to zero in 8 months.
Well,
wow.
That's part of the experience you refer to in your book. And I mean that in a complimentary way and an enticing way for our listeners to pick up the book, because it's that kind of experience, both on the upside and the downside, that you're going to gain from Norm's book, The Knack. And we're going to talk about some of those endeavors, Norm. But before we do that, the subtitle of your book, How Street Smart Entrepreneurs Learn to Handle Whatever Comes Up, is that suggesting that experience trumps formal education? Where do you come down on if a young person is contemplating maybe the choice between an MBA or foregoing an MBA for real-world experience?
Well, I think real-world experience trumps education. Now, with that being said, I do have a doctorate of laws, but they say a smart man or woman learns from his or her own mistakes, and a wise man or woman learns from the mistake of others. Mm. And the reason we wrote this book was so you can become wise. Unfortunately, I've been smart most of my life, and I had to go through all those bumps in life, like the first one I talked about.
And the doctorate of law is code for you're an attorney.
Exactly, but yeah. I really don't like to tell people that.
Well, we call you a recovering attorney.
Very smart. You're smart to do that, Norm. Thanks.
Do you still practice, Norm?
No, I hire outside counsel whenever I need it.
Yeah. That's another smart thing.
I became perfect. I stopped practicing 30 years ago.
Yeah, well.
So there's a flaw right there. An attorney practices? Shouldn't he get it right, huh?
Yeah, get it right.
Yeah, come on.
You know, I guess without a plan, Norm, any route will take you to your destination, or maybe not. Talk about what questions a company's initial business plan should address.
Well, before you even start the business plan, you have to have the concept of what business you want to go into. And where most people make the mistake is they buy one of these canned programs to do a plan and just plug the numbers in. And if they see they're going to need $1 million to start, they change the numbers, and so they only could, maybe they need $250,000 to start. That's the wrong way of doing it. What they have to do is they have to do a business plan for themselves first, not for anybody else, to make sure, number one, they understand what it's about, and number two, they have the ability to raise that capital so they can have a chance of success.
And undercapitalization is such a key component in success, and I can't stress that enough myself, because there are so many people out there, Norm, I would imagine, myself and Ray both being entrepreneurs, that their enthusiasm for wanting to bring a concept to market overshoots their ability to sustain a business during tough startup times, right?
That's exactly right. Most entrepreneurs in the beginning are over-optimistic, and they think they can do anything. Your chances of success are greater if you raise the proper amount of capital. What I usually do is I do these business plans for myself, and let's say I end up needing $1 million. I always say put 25% more in reserve. So before I'd start that business, I'd make sure I'd have $1.25 million. And most businesses, believe it or not, don't fail because of a lack of capital. They fail because of the improper use of the capital they have.
Mm-hmm.
They go out and get fancy offices, buy new furniture. I didn't buy a piece of new furniture for the first 25 years in business. I bought them at closeouts or bankruptcy auctions,
yeah,
etc.
And projections can be another issue in terms of what you expect to happen once you go out and start making sales. That, back to that enthusiasm clouding your objectivity.
Exactly. And I say in the book how this couple came to me, and I asked them to do projections, and they showed at the end of the third month they'd be doing $20,000 a month in sales. And I asked them, how do they get sales? They say, well, we telephone solicit. And I said, how many people are in a company? And they said, just my wife and I. And I said, how many people buy from you? They say, 1 out of 10. And I said, what's the average sale? And they said, $20. And we sat down and figured out they'd have to be on the phone 72 hours a day, 7 days a week for the 2 months in order to accomplish the $20,000. So they were over-optimistic.
Yeah, and, you know, my partner and I, 26 years ago, sat down and figured out how much our money collectively would get us based on our overhead. We didn't realize at the time we were figuring our burn rate, which we now know is the term, and that was based on no sales, no clients coming through the door. And I think you know, that kind of attitude was what really got us out of the box and onto the beginning of starting a company, a successful company for both startups, Norm, as well as established companies. Everyone's bottom line has been affected by the economic turndown. Do you think companies' sales mentality, the sale mentality, the idea that you should focus all your attention on making sales rather than profits, is any more of an issue today than, say, in better times 3 or 4 years ago?
Well, I think it is. And one of the things that you understand, but everybody else have to understand, that numbers run a business. And, you know, remember I told you about that business that failed, it went from zero to 120 million to zero. I asked one question every day I walked in, and that question was, how much did we do in sales yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what most people think about. They have that sales mentality, and I had it. Today I understand it's not what you make in the sales, but what your gross margins are. And I don't think a lot of small businesses, especially people starting out or people who've been in business for a short period of time, understand that you have to know what your gross margins are. Let's say you want to hire a salesman. How many, or a saleswoman, how much new sales do they have to bring in to cover their expenses?
Right.
How much cash do you need to carry that salesperson until he or she produces sales? So they do it by the seat of their pants. We're doing great, let's hire another salesperson. So it's really important to understand what gross margins are and what cash is. Cash is a very unusual commodity. It's the hardest commodity to get and the easiest to spend. And you only have one shot at it.
Especially these days, too. Norm Brodsky is our special guest here on the Advertising Show. The book is called The Knack. He is a co-author of the book. And we'll be back in just a moment with more of Norm and Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
I drink Dr. Pepper and I'm proud. I used to be alone in a crowd. But now you look around these days, there seems to be a Dr. Pepper craze.
Welcome back on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. And Norm, it says here, is a frequent guest on MSNBC. Now we can put in his bio that he is also a guest here at the Advertising Show, which to me carries a lot more weight.
Well, but it can't be frequent, though, because we haven't invited him back yet.
Well, just the guest part.
Oh, that's true.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Norm has a brand new book, too, called The Knack, and that's what we're talking about today, a little bit about that. Norm, good to have you on the Advertising Show.
Nice to be here.
You know, Norm, as Ray read in your bio, 8 successful startups throughout your career. How far along during that tenure of those 8 companies was it that you really began to wake up to some understandings from an experience standpoint and things that you really can look back on this many years later and say, wow, this was really a learning experience when this happened?
Well, the main one was that company that I took from zero to 120 million to zero. I mean, I realized a number of things. One, that numbers run the business, and two, probably the most important thing I recognized in life, that life wasn't only about business. It was also about family and doing things for myself. And it took me a while to realize that. I'm a hard worker. I work 24/7. I'm thinking all the time about business. And I missed my first daughter growing up. So when I started all over again after that experience, I said, this time I'm going to take some time to sit back and enjoy the roses, smell the roses a little bit. And I was the only dad on the second daughter's class trips, and I participated in a lot of things that she did. So,
and if you're an entrepreneur, I guess you eventually figure out that, you know, you may have to work 7 days a week, but you do have some liberties to strike a balance between business and family life. Yeah. And the business never leaves you, and certainly the family hopefully doesn't either. You know, we've had branding experts on, Norm, over the years, and from all walks of life, some that are consultants, others brand managers of consumer product goods, and just many, many different branding so-called executives. And I'd like to get your take. You know, a lot of the questions I ask of branding people start with some fundamentals of, like, you know, just defining branding for me or brand. But for you, a different question, slightly different. How is brand, in your mind, different from reputation?
Well, I believe that reputation is something that is created by your competitors, whereby brand is created by yourself. Your competitors really define who you are. They define your reputation. So I think that's an important part of the selling process. Because when you're out there and your competitors are saying, hey, has Norm been here yet? Oh, you know, So they're afraid of you, sort of, and they give you a good reputation if, in fact, you deserve that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the really difference, who defines what the reputation is and who defined what the brand is, along with, of course, your customers. Your customers, if you have a good reputation, will give you leads. They'll help you make the sales. So I think that's the biggest difference, is those two things.
That's rather poignant, too, because Gittimer, you know, would say the same thing, I think. He might not even take it that far, Brad. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that your customers define who your reputation is, mm-hmm. or your brand or something. But I like that. That's great.
Yeah, and I think the key is, you know, if you take care of your customers, they'll take care of your brand and your reputation. What is your way of thinking, Norm, as far as some of the keys to building a strong brand?
Well, the first thing is consistency with the brand, and the second thing is, how do you handle mistakes? I think, you know, that separates a lot of people. How do you handle mistakes? Are you known for handling them properly? So I've seen lots of people, the way they handle mistakes, they go overboard, they give too much, they don't give anything, or they just handle it right. So I think that's an important part of doing it, an important part in your brand and your reputation.
Makes a lot of sense. As a matter of fact, there's an opportunity to shine there, too, isn't there, with a mistake?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's a rare opportunity that you're giving. When you make a mistake, you're right in the spotlight of the customer, where normally, even if you do your job or your service or your product day in and day out, the customer may not see you, or the person who's in charge of that company may not see you. But when there's a big mistake, you get an opportunity to see the person who's in charge. And that's the moment that you have to solidify that relationship.
Conversation today with Norm Brodsky out of New York. And the book is called The Knack, with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. Stay with us.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Here are us some most happy fellas, the four lads for Ford.
Then he's not skiing at Telluride. He is writing great books like The Knack. It's Norm Brodsky, our special guest here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Norm, good to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, I'd encourage all of our listeners to check that out, Amazon.com. I sure will have a copy for you. Curious, Norm, you've got huge entrepreneurial experience. Have you hired any agencies or marketing firms throughout your career?
Never.
No, you always handled it yourself.
I did.
And you recommend that, being an attorney that also a former attorney that hires out legal services from others?
You're putting me on quite a spot here. I think if it depends what business you're in, and what your goals are and how much money you have.
Sure.
I think in the beginning it's really, really hard because you're on limited cash.
Sure.
But when you get started, I think you can get as much professional help as you can get.
For instance, Norm still hires out plumbers, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good.
So wanted to get your take. You know, lots has been written about advertising during a down economy. Some argue, many argue that, you know, with less competition out there, with less competition out there, advertising, pulling the horns in, as they say here in Texas, it really leaves an opportunity open for some to gain market share, and I'm curious your take on advertising.
I think during times like this, there's so many advantages of you to go out and advertise more and spend more money in marketing. This is the time to do it because your competition won't be doing it, number one, and people are looking for change. And if you're in a position where you're able to do that, I would pour more money into marketing and advertising than ever before. And I strongly believe that. I mean, there's just opportunities created.
And
I have a thing where you don't go along with the herd. For an example, when everybody about 8 months ago was putting in my industry, they were putting, because gas had gone to $4 a gallon, they were putting gas surcharges. I sent letters out to all my people saying no gas surcharges. And then I took those letters and went to everybody else's customers and showed them. We got more customers because of that letter.
Wow.
And overcame whatever the additional gas charges were.
Hmm.
So if you think outside the box and you think differently and you don't follow the herd, this is the time to strike and do more advertising and more marketing.
And when the market comes back, you'll know how to spend in an accountable way, because you will have had to have spent in an accountable way during less upbeat times. How important is it for companies to have the right name for their business, Norm?
Well, you know, I wrote an article about it that I feel that names don't mean anything. So you're asking the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that names don't make the company. It's the company's reputation. And it's the company's image that really what makes what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Tagging onto that too, Brad, not only a name, but a slogan. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, come on, stop it.
Well, I think the brand can make the name as opposed to the name ever making the brand. I know Ray wears Spanx over there, and a lot of people don't know what Spanx are, but it sure makes
neither
his rear end looks nice.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Is that a compliment?
But you're right. Your reputation makes the name, what the name is.
One final question for our audience, Norm. Any one piece of advice that you could look back on your career to give to some young entrepreneur looking out to start their first business endeavor?
Well, the best advice I can give is never quit. Never say die and never quit and keep going. And if you fail, learn from your failures. Look back and take responsibility for what happened. Sit down, analyze what you did wrong, because the next time, you won't do it wrong again.
Love it. Love it. And shut up and listen to people like Norm, right? There you go. Norm, great book. Continued success in your career. And needless to say, we'll probably be reading about you in 10 or 15 years, and it'll be this more of the same kind of stuff. But a great book in the meantime, too. It's called The Knack. Go check it out. And thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Ray and Brad. Nice being on the show.
And there you go, another encore show from The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Norm Brodsky. The book is still great, too. It's called The Knack. Go get it if you don't have it, all right? The Advertising Show is powered by Schipul.com. That's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. A platform called Tendency makes our site and many others around the world killer marketing machines. Check it out, S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. Thanks to Ed and his crew for their help for so many years on The Advertising Show. Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show, a copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production, and we will talk to you again soon.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.